From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Government says 1st of Shawwal 1441 Hijriah falls on May 24th. Indonesian ambassador to China says Indonesia has many opportunities in economic cooperation with China. Now the news in details. The Indonesian government sets the 1st of Shawwal 1441 Hijriah on Sunday, May 24, 2020, based on a press release from the Ministry of Religious Affairs Public Relations that received by Voice of Indonesia. The decision is based on an ISBAT confirmation deliberation to decide the Idul Fitri or 1st of Shawwal 1441 Hijriah. The meeting led by Minister of Religious Affairs Fakhrul Razi at the Ministry of Religious Affairs office in Jakarta on Friday, May 22nd. According to the minister, the ISBAT session at the Ministry of Religious Affairs is always uses two methods that have been inseparable part from one to another, namely the calculation or hisab method and the ruqyat method, by observing directly the presence of the new moon. Hilal is the first young crescent that can be seen after the occurrence of conjunctions in the directions near the sunset, which is the reference for the beginning of the month in the Islamic calendar. This year, Ruqyah was implemented by the Ministry of Religious Affairs at 80 points in 34 provinces throughout Indonesia. The minister said that of the 80 points, none of the Ruqyat visual observers team saw the new moon. In addition, the Ministry of Religious Affairs Falakiyah team stated that the height of the new moon in Indonesia is below the horizon, which ranges from -5.29 to -3.96 degrees. Based on these two reasons, the ISBAT session agreed to complete the month of Ramadan to 30 days, and the first day of Shawwal 1441 Hijriah is on Sunday, May 24, 2020.
Oleh karenanya, dengan dua hal tadi, yaitu hisab.
Therefore, based on the reason, namely hisab, the new moon position is still below the horizon, and then the Hilal visual observers report does not see the new moon. Therefore, the ISBAT meeting unanimously states that the first Shawwal of 1441 Hijriah is on Sunday, May 24, 2020. Unlike the previous year, the ISBAT or confirmation deliberation to decide Idul Fitri or Shawwal 1441 Hijriah was only attended physically by the Ministry of Religious Affairs Fakhrul Razi, Deputy Minister of Religious Affairs Zainul Tauhid Saadi, Chairperson of Commission 7 of the House of Representatives Yandri Susanto, Chairperson of the Indonesian Ulama Council Kyai Haji Abdullah Jaidi, and Director General of Islamic Community Guidance Kamaruddin Amin. While the leaders of mass organization, astronomers, the religious courts, and other echelon 1 and 2nd officials of the Ministry of Religious Affairs followed the proceedings of the session through video conference. Indonesia has many opportunities for economic cooperation with China. During the first quarter of 2020, for the first time, the value of Indonesia's export to China exceeded that of Indonesia's imports from China. This proves that Indonesian micro, small and medium enterprises continue to be active in production and even export their products to China during the first quarter of 2020. It was stated by Indonesian Ambassador to China Jauhari Oratmangun in a telephone interview with Voice of Indonesia on Thursday. Ambassador Jauhari said that one of Indonesia's export opportunities to China is the export of swallow nets, food products, and tropical fruits.
Jadi ada berbagai peluang Yang kita lihat misalnya contoh selama
so we see there are various opportunities. For example, during the first quarter of 2020, Indonesia's swallow nest export increased significantly. We dominated almost 75% of the swallow nest market in China. Food products export also increased significantly. One that might be known is shrimp crackers, not to mention other food products. That export of tropical fruits such as mangosteens, salak or zalaka, and other tropical fruits also increased significantly. So it is food products. Ambassador Jawahari Oratmangun Fatu said that besides food export opportunities, Indonesia also has opportunities for establishing cooperation with China in the digital economy that can help Indonesia to accelerate its economic development.
Dan yang terakhir saya kira ini juga peluang dengan adanya COVID-19.
And lastly, I think this is also an opportunity with COVID-19 because we have started in the past years is cooperation in the field of digital economy, which can help Indonesia to leapfrogging or accelerate its economic development. Just look at the startups and unicorns that we already have. 4 now, maybe it will be 5 or 6, and we are the leader in the digital economy compared to other Asian countries. Jawahari Oratmangun said that China is one of the leading countries in the digital economy, so if Indonesia cooperates with China in this field, it will be able to contribute the Indonesian economy after the COVID-19 pandemic. Moreover, he continued, countries in the world will face a new order in which one of the prominent ones is digitalization with the digital economy as one of its elements. The Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing, PUPR, will optimize the capacity of water storage infrastructures across Indonesia as a precautionary measure against protected drought during the dry season. As Kota Bantara, PUPR Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono in a statement on Friday highlighted President Joko Widodo's instruction that the government should guarantee water supply for food, health, and basic services during the COVID-19 pandemic. Hence, the Minister of PUPR will adopt measures to guarantee the availability of water during the dry season. Field monitoring results indicated that 241 reservoirs cover 16 main reservoirs holding 4.7 billion cubic meters of water to supply to irrigation areas measuring 512,515 hectares or 96.57% of the total 530,738 hectares. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. China warned Friday that its huge economy will suffer an immense hit from the coronavirus as the ongoing pandemic and national lockdowns cause massive global job losses and Russia faces a steep increase in deaths. As quoted by AFP.com, as Beijing's communist rulers failed to set an annual growth target for the first time in decades, Asian markets fell, further battered by China's movement to crack down on Hong Kong's treasured autonomy. China's e-commerce giant Alibaba added to the gloom by reporting an 88% drop in its first quarter net profit despite higher than forecast revenue. New coronavirus infections have begun to dip in much of the world, but the economic damage from the pandemic is only just beginning. The disease is continuing its deadly march in Latin America and Russia. Pro-democracy campaigners in Hong Kong vote Friday to take to the streets in protest over what they say was China's fiercest assault on the city's treasured autonomy with its move to impose a security law. As quoted by AFP.com, the proposals for the legislation expected to ban treason, subversions, and sedition was introduced into China's rubber stamp parliament at the opening of its annual session on Friday morning. It followed repeated warnings from China's communist leaders they would no longer tolerate dissent in Hong Kong, a semi-autonomous city that endured 7 months of massive pro-democracy protests last year. Jimmy Sham, leaders of the Civil Human Rights Front, which organized a million-person rally that kicked off last year's unrest. This is the largest nuclear weapon the Chinese Communist Party has used in its mutual destruction of Hong Kong. Before the International Court of Justice May 23rd deadline for Myanmar to file first report in the Rohingya genocide case, regional parliamentarians urged Myanmar to act promptly to end discriminatory restrictions against the minority group. As quoted by Antara, Asian parliamentarians for human rights noted in a statement received in Jakarta on Friday that authorities should also safeguard all civilians in the ongoing war in the states of Rakhine and Chin. Members of parliaments in Malaysia and the Asian Parliamentarians for Human Rights Chair Charles Santiago emphasized that his side has yet to see any credible evidence of Myanmar taking steps to improve the situations for Rohingya. President Donald Trump pressed for a further reopening of the United States as job losses melt from coronavirus shutdowns, while China's premier warned of immense economic challenges even as the Asian giant emerged from the worst of the pandemic. As stated by Antara, calls to kickstart the world's two largest economies came as large parts of Europe continued to resume normal life as the crisis there abates, with more shops opening and beaches welcoming tourists. But the lifting of the restriction in some places comes despite virus cases passing 5 million globally, with the disease continuing its march in Latin America and Russia. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from across Indonesia. The first news comes from Gunung Kidul District in Yogyakarta. A pavilion in the University of Gajah Mada Wanagama Education of Forests in Panaran Village, Gunung Kidul Regency, Yogyakarta Special Region, began to be used for an independent quarantine of COVID-19 reactive patients. This was marked by the signing of a memorandum of understanding between the Vice Regent of Gunung Kidul, Imawan Wahyudi, and University of Gajah Mada Rector, Professor Panut Mulyono, in Wanagama last Thursday. Dean of the Faculty of Forestry of University of Gajah Mada, Budiati, said the selection of the House of Wanagama researchers as a quarantine place was to support the space needed for reactive patients in Gunung Kidul. This as a preventive and rehabilitative steps in the process of treating people who were declared reactive after going through the PCR in a rapid test. Meanwhile, Gunung Kidul Regional Hospital will be prioritized for COVID-19 positive patients who need intensive care. University of Gajah Mada Director Panut Mulyono explained that the assistance also showed that social capital in Yogyakarta was very large. The social capital, namely communality, solidarity, and a sense of unity, are all in the same area. According to Panut, the University of Gajah Mada also wants to show that the construction of Wanagama is not dedicated solely to educational needs. The facility was also built for the benefit of local residents and the Gunung Kidul Regency in general. He hopes that the patients who occupy one of the guest houses in Wanagama will be able to recover quickly. The calm atmosphere and the view of the forest at that location can also be used as a therapy called forest healing. Next news comes from Makassar, South Sulawesi. Hasanuddin University, UNHAS, through the Students Affairs and Alumni Faculty of Law, in collaboration with the Faculty of Law UNHAS Jabodetabek Alumni Association, IKA, successfully held a digital creative competition with the team working against pandemic. The Dean of Faculty of Law, Professor Farida Patitinggi, last Wednesday expressed her appreciation of the activities held by the Students Affairs during the COVID-19 pandemic. On the occasion of the National Awakening Day, Law Faculty of UNHAS through the Students and Alumni Affairs announced the winners of the competition through a video conference. The head of the activity committee, Dr. Andi Tenrifa Mauri, explained that there were three fields of competition that were successfully competed, namely creative ideas videos, large-scale social restriction poster campaign, and essays with the theme COVID-19 legal policy. News comes from Banjarmasin, South Kalimantan. Lambung Mangkurat University, ULM, has produced personal protective equipment, PPE, in the form of a face shield to support the handling of COVID-19 in South Kalimantan and was handed over last Tuesday, witnessed by ULM Vice Rector for Student Affairs and Alumni, Dr. Insinyur Muhammad Fauzi. The PPE is the work of students of the Mechanical Engineering Study Program of the Faculty of Engineering, ULM, which are designed in such a way that pay attention to medical standards and easy usage. Made of plastic fibers, Mika A4 with a thickness of 0.2 mm, 2 cm thick rubber and knob nails, it is not dewy to protect against splashing droplets or small droplets such as saliva and K can be used 4 to 5 times on condition that it must be sterilized. Mechanical engineering study program students combine medical science and the world of engineering, so they first design the mask using the Autodesk Inventor 3D application. Listener, that was the news from across Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history, we begin with the event on May 23, 1997, Banjarmasin riots, or also known as Grey Friday. On May 23, 1997, riots broke out in Banjarmasin City, South Kalimantan. At that time, Banjarmasin experienced mass riots after two political parties campaigned leading up to the 1997 elections. The parties involved in the campaign were Golkar and PPP. Hundreds of houses, shops, places of worship, and buildings were destroyed in the riots. The number of victims and the cause of the clash were unknown. To be sure, May 23, 1997 was the last day of the campaign period. Based on the scale of the riots due to the incident, the term is called as Blazing Friday or Grey Friday. The next event is on War Turtle Day. War Turtle Day is the day which is annually commemorated throughout the world on May 23rd. The day was initiated for the first time by non-governmental organization American Tortoise Rescue in 1990 and commemorated for the first time in 2000. The commemoration aims to attract attention of international people on the existence of turtles, to enhance knowledge and to honor the existence of turtles. The commemoration encourages all parties throughout the world to assist turtles which are threatened to survive and breed. The last event is that in 1997, Mohammad Khatami was selected as Iranian president. Mohammad Khatami is an Iranian intellectual, philosopher, and politician. He was elected as president on May 23, 1997, and re-elected on June 8, 2001 for the second time. Most of Iranian women and youths elected Khatami because his promise to increase women's status and to be responsive on the demand of Iranian young generation. Khatami is considered as the first reformative president in Iran because his campaign focused on law enforcement and democracy. But the principle of government was often contradictory with hardline and conservative Islamic groups in the government of Iran, which dominated organization of the main government, such as Protection Council, whose member was elected by great leader. And listener, that was today in history.
Nasibmu.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today is on 90% of state-owned enterprises affected by pandemic COVID-19. The Ministry of State-Owned Enterprises, SOE, said 90% of the 142 companies belonging to the government were affected by COVID-19. This has implication for dividends paid to the state coffers, which are estimated to be only half of the planned target. Minister of State-Owned Enterprises Erick Thohir in a video conference in Jakarta on Wednesday said, only three state-owned enterprises were not affected by COVID-19, namely Telkom, those related to health, and palm oil. Therefore, the ministry continues to strive to improve the finance of state-owned companies. He has also ordered them to evaluate their capital expenditure and encourage cutting capital spending, as did PT PLN Persero, which reduced it by nearly 39 trillion rupiah. Erick Thohir also suggested SOEs to restructure debt, for example, global bonds, which mostly use recycled bonds with higher interest rates. He also encouraged SOEs to continue looking for loans with low interest rates. The amount of government support for SOEs in 2020 reached more than 149 trillion rupiah in the form of guarantees for new working capital loans and state capital participation. Previously, head of the Fiscal Policy Agency of the Ministry of Finance, Febrio Kacaribu, explained, there were a number of criteria for state-owned enterprises that would be assisted by the government. Among others, the companies have a major influence on the livelihoods of the community. The government has set a number of priorities in assisting SOEs. Some of the priority scales include SOEs engaged in infrastructure, food, transportation, natural resources, finance, manufacturing, energy, and tourism. Febrio added, a number of SOEs were affected by the COVID-19 pandemic because raw material supplies were disrupted and supplies were not observed. For example, there is an excess supply of steel in the domestic market due to inflows of imported steel from China. In addition, the amount of productions decreased due to the adoption of the large-scale social restriction. From the demand side, this is caused by a decrease in purchasing power, demand, and sales. From the operational perspective, there is the restriction or termination of company operation. This caused some projects to be delayed in competitions, resulting in operational costs that had to be incurred to swell. Payments of some government's commitments is also late, so that the liquidity of numbers of SOEs is disrupted. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kuswati.
Bersandar di pelukmu, menatap di matamu, apakah kau ragu padaku? Kini aku ragu padamu. Adakah cinta yang tulus kepadaku? Adakah cinta yang tak pernah berakhir? Adakah cinta yang tulus kepadaku? Adakah cinta yang tak pernah berakhir? Selalu selamanya. Termenung di keningmu, basah di matamu, apakah itulah cara adakah cinta yang tulus kepadaku? Adakah cinta yang tak pernah berakhir, selalu untuk selamanya?
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Radio Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Indonesian wonder. Today we will introduce you spicy porridge from Stabat Great Mosque, Langkat Regency, North Sumatra. Every Ramadan month, Stabat Mosque, which is a heritage building of the Langkat Sultanate and is located in Langkat Regency, North Sumatra, provides spicy porridge as a breakfasting menu for residents at this mosque. This spicy porridge menu has existed since the days of the Malay Kingdom in North Sumatra and has always been the main menu for breaking the fast at the Stabat Mosque. In addition to being served the residents who break the fast at the Stabat Mosque, spicy porridge is also deliberately made for travelers who pass and stop at the Stabat Mosque because the mosque is located in the North Sumatra Aceh Crossing. Spicy porridge is usually made by residents at certain events, such as wedding festivity, fasting, and Idul Fitri. The process of making the porridge is very complicated because it has to use 40 types of spices, such as turmeric, finger root, allergenous turmeric, cumin, lemongrass, curcuma manga, and other types of spices, as well as various leaves such as sausar leaf, noni leaves, lime leaves, turmeric leaves, and guava leaves. The spices are cooked with rice until they become porridge. Cooking this porridge uses big pot or wok and put it on the stove with firewood fire. Then add finely sliced leaves, potatoes, carrots, and bean sprouts. Then add thick coconut milk and cook until thick and cooked. The spicy porridge is usually eaten with sayur anyang, vegetables made from grated coconut, fern, ginger, and chili. People believe that spicy porridge can refresh the body and make the body warm. That was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring spicy porridge from Stabat Great Mosque, baking menu with 40 types of spices. We'll meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you!
Bayang akan jadi seperti ini pada akhirnya.
Semua waktu yang pernah kita lewati bersamanya tak hilang dan sirna. Hitam putih berlalu, janji kita menunggu, tapi kita tak mampu. 1001 cara kita lewati untuk dapatkan semua jawaban ini. Bila memang harus berpisah, aku akan tetap setia. Bila memang ini ujungnya, kau kan tetap ada di dalam jiwa. Tak bisa untuk teruskan dunia kita berbeda. Bila memang ini ujungnya, kau kan tetap ada.
Well, listener, here is Miss Eleni that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
COVID-19 pandemic that has haunted all countries throughout the world has forced the world community, including Indonesians, to vigilantly handle the cases of the COVID-19 that has killed hundreds of thousands of people. To prevent and fight the spread of the COVID-19, every country requires infrastructure and facilities that accurately detect the virus. Related to this, the University of Indonesia, in collaboration with other agencies, is ready to produce 1 million flock swabs for COVID-19 tests. It is aimed at getting rid of dependency on imported products which are expensive and rare. Of social responsibility to help combat the COVID-19 pandemic, the University of Indonesia, or UI, established a consortium of experts and researchers from the Research Center for Biomedical Engineering, or RCBE, Faculty of Engineering of University of Indonesia, or FTUI, The consortium collaborated with several industry partners, namely Dynapac Asia, PT Chandra Asri Petrochemical, PT Ingres Malindo Ventures, PT Toyota Motor Manufacturing Indonesia, PT Langgeng Jaya, PT Indachi Prima, PT Sri Tita Medica, and OneJack. They developed flux swabs with almost 100 Indonesian local materials. The flux swab is a specimen collection product used in the COVID-19 test swab by using a polymerase chain reaction or PCR machine. Until now, the flux swabs are still very rare in Indonesia and can only be obtained by import. The flux swab made in Indonesia, named HS19, has been produced after going through a research and testing phase involving engineers from the FTUI and doctors from the Faculty of Medicine, University of Indonesia, or FKUI, and under the auspices of the UI Directorate of Innovation and Science Technopark, or DISTP. Before it was produced, the HS19 prototype had passed the testing process of the FKUI microbiology laboratory to ensure that the product is safe for use by health workers and patients. In addition, receiving assistance from the consortium, HS19 product development was also funded by a grant from the DISTP UI Design and Development Funding Program, or P5. Chancellor of the University of Indonesia, Professor Ari Kunchoro, SEMA PhD, said that the flux swab production target is to reach 1 million units by June 2020 and will be donated to COVID-19 laboratories and referral hospitals throughout Indonesia free of charge. That was Miscellany for today. Thank you for listening.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, we'll present a keroncong song entitled Jauh di Mata, composed by Ismail Marzuki. Separation always becomes the heavy thing for people who love each other. That is conveyed by Ismail Marzuki in this song. It is hard to separate. In addition to telling separation, the song also gives a message to be loyal forever, even though you have long distance relation. Well, listener, here is Tuti Trisedia with keroncong song entitled Jauh di Mata.
Oh, jauh di mata, dalam kenangan wajahmu tetap terbayang.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Senja di batas kota, selalu teringat padamu. Saat kita akan berpisah, entah tuk berapa lama. Walau senja berganti, wajahmu selalu terbayang. Waktu engkau kulepaskan, berdebar hati di dada. Tiada dapat kulupakan peristiwa kisah ini. Engkau di seberang sana menunaikan tugasmu. Senja di batas kota terlukis di dalam kaldu. Hanya bila kau kembali, hidupku akan bahagia. Wajahmu selalu terbayang. Waktu engkau kulepaskan, berdebar hati di dada. Tiada dapat kulupakan peristiwa kisah ini. Engkau di seberang sana di batas kota, terlukis di dalam kalbu. Hanya bila kau kembali, hidupku akan bahagia.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.